Good morning. In occasions like this, I'm startled on how to begin, really, because I've come to know that when you are here in the West, when you stand to speak, I've heard that you have to start with a joke. But I also understand in the East that it is common there that when you ever stand to speak, you start with an apology. I'm from Africa, as you have heard, Malawi, and I don't know which one to listen to. So I want to apologize today that I don't have a jock. Well, it is good to be here. Thank you very much for your welcome. Pastor Rick, thank you very much for the prayer, and all the leaders, thank you. It's good to be here at West Congregational Church. I would like to ask you for our consideration this morning to turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And I want to read 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show you what I shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I will declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I come. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" He said. And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He leads, we follow. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we want to come before this text humbly. From within our hearts, we want to live our life in such a way that there is nothing else that we are occupied with than to follow your lead. Help us grasp this and help us live this. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it can be widely acknowledged that life is not a linear, is not as linear as we have come to understand it or seem to propagate it. As a young man was once asked, an older man was asking him, "So what are you going to do in life?" And the young man said, "Well, since I've just finished elementary school, I'm going to go to high school, and that's what I'm going to do." And the older man said, "So after high school, what are you going to do?" The young man said, "Well, after high school, I guess I will go to college and shape my career, and I will gain a degree, and that's what I will do." And the older man said, "So after you get a degree, what next?" And the young man said, "Well, I will get a job and earn money and probably get a car." And then the older man said, "So after you do that, what are you going to do next?" And the young man was getting puzzled because he felt something more serious was coming. And he said, "What are you going to do next?" And the young man said, "Well, I think I'll get married. I'll get a wife, my beautiful wife, and I will have children, raise the children, and that's what I will do." And then the man said, "So after that, what next?" The young man said, "Well, I guess I will make sure that I provide for my children. I raise them up and let them get good education and raise themselves to be a place where they can stand on their own." I said, "That's good. So after that, what are you going to do next?" The man said, "Well, I guess I will get old and die." You see, there is much more to life than passing through life. There is much more than just living life. I believe, as many of you do here, that it is critical in our life that we live lives that are led by God. That we follow God. That the center of our life, the whole existence of our life, becomes that we are followers of God. There is nothing more satisfying in life than having the confidence in your heart that you are following God. There is nothing that surpasses that. When our life is centered on God, when our living is centered on God, when our pursuits and our accomplishments are led by God, that God is the center of all that we do. He's the initiator, He's the sustainer, and He is the one who makes things happen for us. There is nothing greater than that. For you see, we are living in a time when this thought can easily escape us. We're living in a time when the centrality of God in our life can elude us. And worse than that, we are living in a time that when this is not at the center of our life, there is little in life, little in our context, or even nothing at all to recapture our mind to this reality. There's nothing, or there is little that stimulates us back to the reality of God being the center of our life. For Him to be our all in all. You see, this challenge is twofold, really. Living a centered life in God, or living a life that follows God has two challenges, in my opinion, as I have seen it in my own life. In one sense, there is the challenge of being able to hear what God is saying to you, how God is leading you, how God is pushing you. To sense that can be a challenge. In another sense, the challenge also lies in the fact that when you have heard, when you have sensed God's direction, the challenge also begins to appear in how we live according to God's direction. When we have sensed that this is how God wants you to live, this is how God wants you to lead, this is how God wants to order your life, to begin to do that consistently, faithfully, the rest of your life, the rest of my life. Today I want to speak to the second challenge. I recognize I do not demean the first one, but I just want to speak on the second aspect of following when God leads. It is a good day for me to speak because I see in the bulletin that my professor is coming next week. So whatever I miss or do not say well or do not do a good job, please, I will not take emails. Please forward all the emails to Jeffrey Arthurs. I want to speak to this challenge that we have, the struggle that we have in our life as a Christian. I have struggled in my life knowing that God leads, knowing the Word of God, but having struggles to follow what God says. For I have sung it, I will follow you all the days. But when I look in my life, I see places in my life where I haven't done that as I should, as I knew I should. You see, having this challenge is like this man who went out and stood in his, he went out and stood in his own field. He was standing there for a long time in his field, and his friend saw him and noticed that he had been standing there for a long time. And his friend decided to go there and ask him what he was doing. So he said, "Why are you standing here for a long time? I've noticed that you have been standing here. I know it's your field." The man said, "Well, I want to win the Nobel Peace Prize because I hear and understand that it is the Nobel Peace Prize is given to those who are outstanding in the field." We can hear, we can understand that God is leading us, but many times we have a misapplication, a misplaced replacement of the things that we receive from God in our life. We are glad to receive them. We are happy to know that God is speaking into our lives. But yet many times when it comes to our daily living, we tend to miss that. As I approach the text, I want to just lay before you a skeleton structure of our lesson, the way I want to approach our text. First, I want us to see the awakening, the attention, the anchoring, the assessing, and allowing. How do we follow God's leading? You see, the time had come for Samuel to respond to the situation that he was living in. And God had been speaking to him about Saul. He had spoken to him, and Saul had received the words from Samuel twice. In chapter 13, Samuel came to Saul and said, your kingdom will no longer last. It will not go on forever. God has found another person for the job. A man after God's own heart. That's what God is looking for. In chapter 15, he said that just the same way you have grabbed my cloth and you have torn it apart, your kingdom has been torn away from you, and it is going to be given to your neighbor who is better than you. But there's something that Samuel was still wrestling with, and as much as he had said this, inasmuch as he had known that God had left Saul because Saul was so caught up in his own ways of life. He wanted to please his own self. He wanted to please people. He wanted to do things in his own way. Yet when God spoke, somehow Samuel was not convinced. He still held on to this, that something might change in this man, maybe. He's going to turn. You see, sometimes in our course of life, we can hold on to things that this is how things are going to be, hoping maybe that things will change. But God raises a question to Samuel. He says, how long will you keep mourning for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? We are people that sometimes can miss an exit. We are people who can sometimes be caught up in the flow of things. Sometimes, as bad as they get, we still flow with it. It only takes God to raise us up from our slumber in that flow. How long will you keep on mourning for Saul? How long will you seek normalcy in this flow of things? How long will you allow these things to go on as if you don't see that there's something wrong? How long will you keep on? There needs to be an awakening that is caused by God. I need many times to awaken my life, to awaken my heart, to say, how long am I going to keep on living like this? How long can my marriage go on like this? How long can I hope for something to change? And it's not changing. I need God to touch my heart. I need God to tap me so that I can awaken to really assess things in my life. Sometimes we can be caught up in a moment, in the flow of things, hoping things would be different, when God has begun a new chapter. How long will you keep on going like this? Second, I want you to notice that there was a need after God had raised, alerted Samuel that there's something that new has to be happening in the kingdom of Israel. There was something that was supposed to be different. God then draws Samuel to instruction. So there is a need to pay attention after being awakened. You need then to pay attention to what is God saying in this moment? What is God saying I should do? And this is what Samuel did. He heard God speak to him and say, this is what I want you to do. Fill up your horn with oil and go to Bethlehem and go to the house of Jesse. There the man I have chosen to be king is there, and I will show you what you are to do. For you see, we have to pay attention to the instruction because God, as much as he gives instruction, sometimes he doesn't give the details. That's why we need to pay attention. That's why we need to hear the instruction of God. But yes, we need to pay closer attention to the instructions that God gives us. For you see, if we do not pay attention to God's instruction, it's easy for us to lean to our own understanding, to lean in our own understanding and not acknowledge God and not understand that it is God's instruction that is so specific. Don't lean to your own logic. Pay attention to what I'm saying, Samuel. There is something that I need you to do exactly as I am saying. For you see, it was said in this text to Samuel that do this. And then it says he did according to what God had commanded. I wonder in our life as we follow God, if we are a people, if we are an individual who can say, I do according to the way God instructs me. For you see, following God is not an ideal. It's not something that just has to be acknowledged or just has to be professed. I like the way the Israelites were led by God. And when they are led by God, they were told, when you have gone through this, tell your children that God had led you. Put stones here. And when the children ask you, what are these stones for? Point them to the fact that God has led us out of captivity. I was asking myself this morning and I was saying, I know my kids know that I'm a Christian and I love God and I want to follow God. But I stopped in my tracks to question myself, to say, how much do I show them with evidence that this is how God has led us in this moment? For you see, we can hope that they would discover, but we need to be able to say in our own families, in our own churches, to say, God is indeed on our side, and this is how he has led us. The other thing that happens here that we need to understand in following God is that we need to anchor ourselves in God. When God has told Samuel that you need to go to the house of Jesse and anoint a king, he was filled with fear. Fear rose up in him because he knew what kind of a man Saul was. He knew that Saul was turning into this despotic monarch. He was becoming ruthless in what he was doing. And fear gripped him. You see, sometimes when God instructs us, in all honesty, sometimes we are challenged because the things that we want to do is going to face opposition. They are not going to be popular. They are not going to be acceptable. They are not going to be accepted easily. You see, when God instructs us, sometimes we are challenged in ourselves, in our logical thinking. How will this fly? Fear. But you know, sometimes it's not the fear that you need to check in your life so that you anchor yourself in God. Sometimes it is the overly confidence that you need to check and anchor yourself in God properly. The American spirit. The confidence, the boldness of an ego, the decisiveness, the know-how. I'm not criticizing anything American. I'm just being cautious. This is just a cautious. Because sometimes you can approach the things of God with so much confidence that is outside God but yourself. In your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your know-how. So God tells Samuel, you are afraid. Understand that this is my show. Understand this is my work. Take a heifer and go and sacrifice. If you read this very quickly, you would think that God was trying to trick the people. You would think that God was trying to lie to the elders. You would think that. But he wanted to show Samuel that this is something that is rooted in me, in who I am, in my purpose, in my structure of things. I don't want you to go by how Saul is going to respond. I want you to go because this is my business. Anchor yourself in God. Do you check yourself, the decisions you make? Do you check yourself? The suggestions that you make, are they rooted in your fear? Are they rooted in your self-confidence? Or are they rooted in the fact that you're serving God and you're following God? Anchor yourself in God. For you see, if you don't anchor, if we do not anchor ourselves, if I do not anchor myself in God, there's going to be things, because we have heard the instruction of God and we have done it, it's going to prosper because it is coming from God. But if you don't anchor yourself in God, you will begin to think that that was you. You would think that Saul, the reason he hasn't killed you is because you are so witty. You are so careful. You would think that the success that you are achieving is because of you. Anchor yourself in God. For if we're going to follow God, we cannot go on just following God's direction. There was a man by the name of Gideon who is my favorite character. He was told by God, he was so much in fear. He was afraid of the Midianites. And he was told by God, go and finish off these Midianites. And I am sending you. And Gideon was puzzled by this and says, if God is indeed on our side, how come we do not see the power of God? How come we do not sense what God has say that he will do in our life? How come we are afraid? How come we are hiding? He says, go. I'm doing this through you. And Gideon went and he succeeded. But there was something that ended up happening in his life. He started building himself up. He started rebuilding his own kingdom, his own self-worth, his own self-confidence was being built up instead of pointing to God. Anchor yourself in God. God awakens us to notice the situations that we're living in, but we have to pay attention in what He is instructing us, how He is instructing us. And we need to anchor ourselves in God, because we can lose what He is instructing us in the moments when things begin to go well. But the number four, we need to understand the assessment that God has. The assessing of the heart. You see, in as much as God instructs us, in as much as God awakens us to His instruction, in as much as we can anchor ourselves in God and say, God, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge You in all my ways. There is a heart issue. While Samuel is looking at this beautiful, handsome man walk by, he says, surely, the way things appear here, this is how God is going to establish a king. You see, sometimes we look at appearance, we look at how things are going, how things are appearing, how things are being acceptable. We forget the heart issue, that God needs to check that. So all I'm saying is, as you are being led by God, as you are being instructed by God, as you are being awakened to the things that God is doing or saying or instructing, as you are doing that, check your heart. For you see, your own way of evaluating things is based on appearance. That's what God is saying. Face it. That your heart sometimes can mislead you, can mislead people. You act well, but your heart is bent towards wrong. For 3 weeks now, my wife has been asking me, she usually does this, she suggests things that I should watch. Recently, she has been telling me that I should watch The House of Cards. I don't know if you know anything about House of Cards. It's a series of a story of a man who his name is Francis Underwood, played by Kevin Spacey, one of my favorite. In all this, he needs to win everything, I think, most of the time. He's the whip of the majority whip in Congress, and they have just won an election, and he was promised that he was going to be given a position, and he walks in somebody's office, and he is told actually that things have changed, that he's not going to be given this position. And he goes home and he is upset that he has not been fulfilled. The wishes that he had, the promises he had, is not going to be fulfilled. So he and his wife agree that they are going to revenge. So what they do is that they go off ahead with the way things are flowing, the way things are happening, as if they are on the side, as if they support. But yet, deep down in their heart, they are actually orchestrating things to fall apart. For you see, our heart has this tendency to be in a bent way, but outwardly, we stand straight. It only takes God to have the access of our heart for that to be in check. For we ourselves will not catch it. That's why God is saying, I don't assess things as the way you humans assess them. I look at the heart. I look at the motives of the heart. That's why he is able to say, that's why you don't get your answers to prayer answered, because when you pray, you are actually looking for your own self.
Because God is able to check the heart. One of the things, one of the cries of my heart is that God would allow me to see that He needs to have free access of my heart. Because my heart many times wanders. My heart many times flows with the wrong things. Even though I don't act them out, my heart is not at the right place. One of the things that we need is not to shun away from the vulnerability that we need to have of our hearts before God. But lastly, we need to allow the direction of God to take its course. There's something that happens here when the boy came and he was called from the field tending sheep, and he comes, and the Bible says that he was rude and he was ruddy and he was dark skinned and he was beautiful blue eyes and nice looking. I looked at the Hebrew there that the boy was handsomely looking, and actually the Hebrew says he looked like the preacher. You see, there's something that happens when David is anointed with the oil. What happens there in verse number 13, it's so interesting that nothing is said. Nothing much is said. Nothing much is done anymore. The Bible says, from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And what happens also here is that Samuel does not sit down and say, so David, you've been anointed with oil, so here is how you're going to be king. This is what you need to do. What actually he did is that he left. We need to have trust in the instructions of God when we are following them. We need to have trust in God that He will see things come to pass. We don't see Samuel or David trying to make things happen, trying to make the establishment of themselves as establishing David as king. They just let things be. Even you remember the story of David. David had many opportunities. He killed Goliath, and people were singing songs about him and diminishing King Saul. And David could have easily said, you see, this is, you wanted a man to lead you into battles, and this is the man has come, the man of the hour. This is the man, let me be king. That man was afraid, I took his armor, he couldn't even fit me. David doesn't do that. He let things be. Even when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, as much as he was hunting him out to kill him, when he had the opportunity to stab him and just silently, quietly kill him, and nobody would have noticed, he did not do that. We need to have the confidence in what we are doing, that God has instructed us. And because God has instructed us, things will work out. The fruit of our following God is in God. God is going to establish them. God is going to erect them. God is going to establish them. That's all I'm saying. Allow it to grind out. Because you see, there is a thin line here in terms of how much you do to bring about the results that God is instructing you for. There is a temptation to do more than what you're supposed to do. Honestly speaking, it's a difficult thing, yes, but we need to understand there is a place that we follow God and we leave the rest of the results to God. We say it in reaching out to other people. We say that let's speak the word of God. Let's be the witnesses of God. And God is the one who turns the people's hearts. God is the one who converts. But many times when we are doing our business, our choices, our projects, it is us making things fruitful. I'm not saying you shouldn't do anything. I'm just saying there's a need, there's a limit where you stop from pushing the buttons and pushing things to happen for the results to come by. For you see, the generations that come behind us, the way they will know that this was a God thing, when how they will know that, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that this must have been God. There's no way this Jordan River could have parted. This must have been God. Why am I saying all this? I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you following God's leading? If your life would end today, would you say that you have lived a life that has followed God? Or would that question be an awakening call for you? Are you following God? Do you need an awakening to do what God says? Do you need maybe to pay more attention to what God is saying? You need to expose yourself more to His word, to His counsel. Pay attention to that. Would you say that you are following God? Or do you need an anchoring in God? Do you need maybe to expose your own heart before God, that God would correct you, God would instruct you, that this is really out of pride, this is really out of your own ambitions. Maybe you would want to say, as David said, Lord, search my heart, know my thoughts, find if there's any grievous things in my heart. Maybe it's something that you need to say. Acknowledge it and come vulnerable before God. For you see, God's when we become vulnerable before God, He is not going to shame us. He's going to correct us and put us in a right place. Are you following God? Or maybe you need to let your hands off the wheels and let God be God and let Him establish what He has set to do, even yes, through you. Allow God to be God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you do lead. There's no question about that. There's no doubt about that, that you are God who leads. You have never stopped, you never cease, because, Lord, you are in concert with us to see your purposes established here on earth through us, that we are involved in this. But Lord, you also want us to not just hear what you are saying, but you want us to see the things that you are instructing us come to be, come become a reality in our life, in our families, in our workplace, in our school, in all our pursuits. You want that to be true and not to be different from you. Help us, Lord, to follow you because you are leading. Amen.